Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Is this recording? I think it's recording. Is it?
Yeah, hold on now. I'll open this bad boy up. There we go. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year from the Snowcast. Here we are, 2021. And it's actually been a bit mental because we finished the pandemic series and we had a couple of nice podcasts lined up. And then I had to get surgery. So nothing major. Back on my feet and back joined by one again for the Snowcast starts off 2021. And Owen, it's just the two of us tonight, folks, myself, DJ, and Owen. And we're starting off 2021. Just the two of us. And I did something today just to prepare for this podcast. I went back and listened to our first podcast of 2019. And what
2020,
a 2020, 2020, yeah, sorry, 2020. And what a different world that was, eh?
Oh my God. I can't even fathom as to what we even said then. I didn't do this preparation now, but like, yeah, what a different world. I'd say our hopes and aspirations were sky high. And God, yeah, I'm looking forward now to hearing about it, what kind of shite we were talking about.
The podcast title was Be Wide of Mossy.
Oh.
So I'm not sure if you recall that episode. Was this one in
Grady's Yard? And it was like me, you, Tommy and Ollie, was it?
That's exactly it, yeah.
Oh,
that's
exactly it.
And basically we recorded Be Wide of Mossy. To be wide of someone is kind of Cork slang, really, for to be being cautious of someone or being aware that someone's a bit dodgy. And there was a couple of things that stood out straight away as soon as I was telling you earlier, like, you know, I was literally on my PlayStation. I was like, I'll throw on a podcast. And I was like, what podcast will I listen to? And I thought, fuck it, I'll go back and listen to this. And
bump up the listens, man.
Bump up the listens. Yeah. Absolutely. Especially because we haven't recorded a podcast since November. We missed the whole of December because of my bollocksology. That I was like, hey, that's one listen now that Acast will be happy about. But straight away, background noise. I was like, fuck, like the background noise is so good. Like, you know, that essence that we aim for, I was like, Jesus, to be in a pub, an actual pub, background noise. Michal was working that night in Grady's Yard. Hear the glasses clinking. Hear a bit of chatter, a bit of music in the background. It was proper nostalgic. It wasn't
right.
Even like...
New idea, right? We release two forms of this podcast, right? One with Sky Sports pub noises added in and one with just the clean version.
Oh, like so, the way they pipe in the fans to the
yeah, exactly, pocket. Yeah.
Yeah, have you seen they're doing that for the darts as well? Like, that's mad, like...
Oh God! How did they do that? Like, how do you have some fat lad from Leeds roaring abuse? Like, how do you pipe that in? Like,
it might be in the noise and the dark as well. But guess what we started off talking about in that podcast? Like, if you want to guess,
holidays.
No. We were talking about the Irish government trying to commemorate the Black and Tans. That was this time last year. Would you believe?
No way. Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah. So that was the first part of 2020, like a complete world away. And it's mad that like that actually feels like so long ago. When you think about the topics that we discussed, and like you were talking about dry January, we discussed triannuary, which is where you were trying new stuff for January. And I think there'll be very few people doing dry January this year, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's I've had one person say to me that they're going to do dry January, and I think it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. That was my biggest regret of 2020, was doing dry January.
But I think if you knew the year that was going to be in it, you wouldn't have bothered with it at all.
That's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean. There's no way I would have done it. Like, that's absolutely scandalous.
Well, I'll tell you what really struck me listening to it was you were doing dry January, and you talked about how the inviting natures of the taps of Grady's Yard and that process of picking a pint, and how like literally you were like dry January was fine for the first week, but as soon as you stepped foot, you just saw like you started salivating the moment you saw the taps, and you thought about the process of going, what will I drink tonight? And I think that's something that's really missing from our lives at the moment, isn't it? You know, it's not like, I'm not saying this is a downer. I'm just saying like, Jesus, isn't it great knowing that how good it's going to be the first time you step, like basically you've gone on the longest dry January ever when it comes to pints in a pub.
Yeah, I definitely have. And as have we all, like, but yeah, I don't know how anyone would do this year, and I'd love to be back in a pub. Like I've like two pubs, like literally within like, I don't know, 50 steps of my house here. And I pass them like every time I want to go to the butcher's or go to the shop or whatever. And like, it's crazy. Or it's like, ah, come on. Just let me in the side door for a bit. Like just, you know, or even like, Maybe in the house. Maybe actually that's what I need to do. Maybe I need to pipe in the sounds into the house here, you know, and like have that Sky Sports effect in the house. Like maybe just because it is exactly what you say there. It's those noises. It's the atmosphere that a pub creates that you're missing. Like, you know, it's not like, you know, yes, like for the few times that I have gone, like there, I went on the 23rd of December. I went to Grady's Yard for a meal, and I can tell you what, the Castaway is way nicer out of the taps than it is out of the cans, like, you know. So like there is obviously a quality issue about going to the pub as well. Like it's just phenomenal, like the draft beers that you're getting. But like more so than that, like it's the atmosphere, it's like the hubbub, like it's everyone chatting around you, it's like the laughter, the shouting, everything, like that's what you want, like, you know.
Well, I'll tell you something that I was thinking there, you know, obviously, you know, we see the analytics of the podcast and everything, and we the pandemic series in particular saw a huge bump in listeners, so you're welcome everyone, thanks a million for tuning in. And what I would say is I think in particular, going back to some of the early episodes that are pretty raw, very questionable opinions and levels of leeriness, but if you're missing the pub, honest to God, it'll do you the world of good just to go back and listen to a few of those earlier episodes. Because I can remember one of the very first ones, there was a pub quiz on in Phil Grimes, and we were down in the Snug, and I remember editing that and thinking, oh my God, like you can hear questions in the background and you can hear people's reactions and stuff like that. So I think I think if you're really nostalgic for the pub, I think going back to one of our early podcasts for now, listen, would do you no harm. It might do you a heap of harm, but sure, look, it's worth trying anyway if you have that longing. I suppose, Owen, moving on then to the situation we're in now, doing the Zoom and having the cans, what can are you drinking tonight?
I'm on Metal Man Tip Tango. So I actually got a lovely present of a mixed case of Metal Man beers for Christmas that had like their pale ale in it, the Equinox, which is the wheat beer, isn't it? Yeah, wheat beer, Tip Tango, and it had Moonbeam as well in it. So it had Acans in it, two of each. And oh god, it was a great present. I thought it was like one of the best presents I got all Christmas. But yeah, I'm on the Tipped Tango now, which is one that we've always been a favor of. It's definitely been, we've definitely touted it as a big cans in the garden while you're having a barbecue type of can, because it's 2.5%, but really, really tasty. You can session away on it, and it's just ideal. Like, just like really light, but like quite fruity and stuff as well. Like, so yeah, I've always been a big fan of Tipped Tango, and I said I'd kind of just ease myself in tonight now, just have this 2.5%er to start me off.
Yeah, I went the exact opposite tack to you, but just on the Tipped Tango there for a minute, and the idea, like, honestly, presents again, like, I've gotten presents of the brewery Jungle series was a present I got off someone. I shout out to two of my friends in Cork, Bob O'Sullivan and Niamh O'Reilly. They sent me a case from Bradley's off license, a complete mix of a heap of American beers and Irish beers and a couple of UK beers thrown in. So shout out to them guys. Like, thanks so much for the overly generous gift, but also that case of beers is going to see me through the next few podcasts. You know what I mean? And there's beers there that we would never feature on the podcast. Coming back to a team that ran throughout 2020 for us, like finding new beers. Like, I really can't wait to talk into them. It's a brilliant gift for someone who likes beer. You know, try these new beers, try these beers that you haven't had before. And I think as well, like, we didn't really mention it too much, I think, in the podcast in December, because obviously we didn't record any in December, and the Candemic series was a showcase in breweries in itself. But a lot of the breweries did fantastic jobs. I know our friend Wayne Dunn from the Irish Beer Snob blog and podcast, you know, he did this incredible thread of different offerings that Irish breweries were having for Christmas presents there before Christmas. And like, they really stepped up this year to provide some absolutely top-notch presents there for people like us who love a good, decent beer.
Yeah, same with like the likes of like Mother Max and stuff, like of creating these like compilation boxes. And like, you obviously have the likes of like Beer Cloud and stuff like that, doing like these like advent calendar boxes and stuff like that. And like, it's just like testament to how many breweries there are, how many options, like that, like you're able to now do like these advent calendar things. And like, you can do like advent calendars over and over and over again and still not have the same beers in them. And like, you know, even I suppose with like, to touch on like that, the Beer Cloud stuff like that, you're able to have like these kind of themed boxes now that like, it's just phenomenal. Like the amount of stuff that you can do with beer nowadays, and like those gift packs and stuff are just so class. I've really enjoyed like the beers that I drank over Christmas. Like it was like an exploration into the plinth again to see like, well, like, oh, hold on now, what am I going to drink now, like before the dinner, what am I going to have like kind of desserty wise after the dinner, what am I going to hit the wine for the dinner, or you know, it was really, really good, like festive time, wasn't it, like of like just trying to like pick and choose our beers. And yeah, I'd really go to crack over Christmas, like just mixing and matching. And then as well, you go down and Jamie, who's been on the podcast, went down Christmas Day to him, like, and you know, he is after getting into his craft beers a good bit as well. Like, so you know, we were dipping into like a bit of Brewdog, and we had Metal Man and stuff like that as well. Like, so yeah, it was class, like going into him and just kind of seeing what like he had chosen for us for Christmas and stuff as well, you know?
Yeah. And like, I spent Christmas with some family in Galway, and again, like, you know, I was blessed that like, my brother-in-law got a heap of Galway Bay beers in for me, knowing that I love independent craft beer, and I was set for Christmas there. But as well as that, I think I was just saying there earlier, I went quite the opposite of you in terms of your going with the Tipped Tango Session Pale Ale. I went the opposite to begin. I am I started off, I was going to say, this is what I was drinking tonight, but I've actually moved past it now because I absolutely sculled it. I was absolutely hanging for a can, and I was three quarters of the way through it before we started the Zoom call, to be fair. But I started off on the Ballyshiekavin Brewery's Clancy Cans number 4, the Walnut Whip Stout, a 7.4%, absolute belter of a stout, really. Like it's amazing. You know, when you open a can, and you know what I do when I open a can or when I get a pint and it's new, I smell it and I'm like, right, what am I expecting here? And I got like real chocolatey and vanilla smell off it. But the taste, like you still taste the vanilla, but it's like vanilla walnutty kind of taste. Chocolate, not so much. So I thought that was nice. Like it is the three elements of a walnut whip without being very walnut whippy, if that makes sense. But an absolutely cracking beer. I know you've had a couple of cans of it. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I had it actually there over the festive period, when I went to Lock 13, Kildare Brewing Company's restaurant and gastropub there in Salins in Kildare. And I thought it was phenomenal. Like I talked into a few of them after the thing, and even the waiter was just like complimenting me. He was just like, you've chosen a fantastic can there. Like it was phenomenal. So it's that kind of like really nice, like desserty stout, has that kind of like sugary I kind of think like it does have that kind of like marshmallowy vanilla taste off it as well. Like, and it's just a lovely, really, really nice smooth can like to drink.
Shout out to that waiter, like that's what you want from your waiter, like, you know.
He was an absolute hero. Like,
you picked a good one there, buddy.
He was at me all night. Like, he was just like kept getting me to like try different cans off the menu, like, you know, because I was obviously flaking into I was on the baby boom for a bit, I think, when I was in there. Oh no, sorry, with the dinner, I think I had Soldier's Island. Or did I have electric juice? One of them anyway. And then I had like baby boom afterwards. And then I was like, I'm going to go a little sweeter here now. And I'm going to go for the Clancy cans. So yeah, it was phenomenal.
You went starters, mains and desserts on your beers.
I did, yeah.
But I moved past it now. I don't have any more of it left. So I went on to this this West Kerry Brewing Bior Cochaglina. I went to this limited edition, the Night Porter. It's a traditional subtle porter, reminiscent of those enjoyed by night porters throughout the ages, which is how they describe it. 5.1%. Subtle porter is right. Like, it's, you know the scene in Angela's Ashes where the child has died and the father after the funeral is having pints back in the pub, and he literally has a pint on top of the child's coffin. This probably isn't doing Bior Cochaglina much good now, describing it disabled.
This new marketing material for Bior Cochaglina.
Yeah, I probably should have chosen a better example as to what it reminds me of. But you know the pint he puts down on the coffin? And then he's made like wipe the residue off the coffin before.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
When Francis comes down to make him leave. It reminds me of what I expect that pint to taste like. You know, a pint back in the day, like a porter in a rural pub, you know, just locally produced because there's no massive brewery there. Like the Guinness
truck. Does it have that kind of earthiness about it? Like that kind
of, yeah. The Guinness truck won't go down the boreen to the pub. Do you know that kind of way?
We'll make our own. Fuck Diageo. Fuck Guinness. We'll make our own there.
Yeah, it has that kind of earthy, like fucking lovely, earthy, malty kind of just homeliness about it. Like, and it's just, I've harped on about it throughout the whole November, how much, you know, how much I've loved finding this brewery. And I actually bought this bottle quite a while ago. I bought this bottle on one of our pandemic trips, and I was like, I'm going to keep that aside for some evening that I'm like absolutely harping for something. And I'm really glad I did. The first, because I went from Clancy's Cans and Walnut Whip Stout to this, I was a bit kind of like, I was a bit underwhelmed in the first sip because I've gone from this fucking vanilla walnut explosion of flavor to like what's a subtle porter. But now that I've kind of gotten the Clancy's cans out of my taste buds, I'm actually able to taste this properly.
It's definitely not out of your system anyway, 7.4%.
No, it's not out of my system, but it's out of my taste buds now. It's flowing through my blood to my liver and kidneys. and clearly my brain. This night porter is an absolute gem. And it's the kind of porter that, you know, I think about when we talk about seasonal drinking, it's the kind of porter that you could sit down next to a fire and have five or six of these bottles and tip off and have a nice sleep for yourself. Like as I said on Twitter today, a nice hyper vivid dream about being in a pub. It's exactly what you want. It's a top notch beer.
That sounds unreal. That sounds really good.
And that subtlety is key, like, because with a drink like the night porter, you can genuinely drink it all night. And yeah, like if you had 6, 7, 8, 9 of them, I'm sure that you'd be like absolutely face first in a ditch maybe by the end of the night. But you know what?
Imagine having 9 of them. That'd be alright.
But it's very no. But it's very drinkable. Like, it would be sickly, or it would be easy to consume. Whereas like the Clancy's cans of water would.
Oh, no way, man. Yeah.
It's one of those drinks where, like, you know. What I find in, especially when this, the point of this podcast is look back at what we've discovered beer-wise and how we've grown beer-wise in 2020, is there are so many brewers and beers out there that are absolutely magic in the flavor profile and what they achieve with the brewing process. But you're not going to have more than two of them, because, like, you know, with the one that whips out, it's a very specific genius achievement of science to brew a stout that tastes like that.
Yeah, would you have 9 tiramisus? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Whereas you'd have 9 tapas, which is the equivalent of a pale ale, you know?
There you go. That's actually a very, very good analogy. Very, very good analogy. But coming on to the point of this podcast, we talked about, actually, do you know what we'll do? We'll take a little break here. Acast might put in a break. If not, you can imagine that some car dealer wants to sell you a second-hand car for the new year. And we're back in the room. I hope you enjoyed whatever ad break it was there.
I hope the British Army, I hope they advertise for us. That would be so good. If Acast put in a British Army one,
I was kind of saying, I hope they advertise like a more successful podcast, because it's kind of self-defeating. Because, you know, if they're like, or like, on Acast, we have, do you want to listen to other podcasts like the Blind Boy podcast or the Irish History podcast? I'm like, yeah, no, they're referring people to us, not the other way around. Like, you know, nobody listens to us is not listening to them bigger podcasts. But anyway,
actually, does it work? I think it works like everyone might hear a different podcast. It's like targeted to you, isn't it? The listener.
I've no idea.
Because I think I was listening to our podcast before. I think there was a Smiddix one. There was a Smiddix, an ad for Smiddix thrown in.
Well, if you hear this ad for Smiddix, please don't drink Smiddix. There are plenty better red ales out there made by independent Irish brewers. No offense, Smiddix, but give me Ballycliffe's red ale or Costello's red ale any day ahead of you. But speaking of podcasts, and in fairness, since we made the switch to Acast and we've done the Candemic series, which really, really was groundbreaking for us in terms of listenership and exposure and reach, I actually went back and went through 2020, and I was like, imagine, you know, and maybe our overseas listeners mightn't understand this, but the RTE show Reeling in the Ears. So for listeners abroad that mightn't understand, RTE, Radio Telefí Seán na Éire, and basically our state broadcaster in Ireland, produces this show every year called Reeling in the Ears. That's like this national obsession. Owen, how would you describe Reeling in the Ears?
Great theme tune. Amazing. But Reeling in the Ears, it kind of goes, I think it goes chronological order throughout the year, doesn't it? And it features like major news events, major like social events. Then it has like top songs of the year, like top movies, but it's kind of like it's blended in really well, I think, as well, whereby, like, you know, you might have like Tin Lizzy, the boys are back in town, and like, you know, it'll show a little bit of like filling in it, like playing away on guitar, and then that like the boys are back in town will like drop into the background of the next, and then like it'll show a video clip then, and there'll just be like text on the screen saying, like, you know, in 1982 whatever, you know, happened, you know, but
died or something, like,
well no. I don't know, I was going to say like Chernobyl or something like that happened, but like, well, although that wouldn't be the best song to have. No. The boys are breaking down.
But I was thinking, like, oh my god, everybody's switched off now, so it doesn't matter what we say from here on in. I was thinking, imagine if we did like a reeling in the year of 2020 just based on podcasts that we had.
Yeah.
So, Be White and Mossy, our first podcast 2020, was we released that on the 14th of January. And I was like, right, we released a couple of podcasts then throughout February, and we released one podcast in March. Steak and DJ Day, which we released with Rebecca Cappuccini, who had this brilliant mental health fundraiser for men organized that got cancelled because we had a pandemic. And would you believe it was the 25th of March we did the first self-isolating with Finn Dwyer.
Wow, we were hot off the presses, like.
Well, Finn was hot off the presses, really, wasn't he?
Like, yeah, no, he was, but like, you know, he didn't even leave the lockdown even sink in.
Yeah,
people weren't even sick of it. Like we were what, a week, 2 weeks in.
Well, that was exactly it, because was it? I'm trying to remember what date it was. I think it was the 15th of March. I was supposed to get married on, and the lockdown came in like basically that week. So the lockdown wasn't 2 weeks in, and we had this, like, actually that's a brilliant podcast, and I'm actually going to go back and listen to that, I think, during the week at some stage, because we're back in a place now where the shit has hit the fan in Ireland and in most places in the world, I think. Just kind of listen to us talking naively about pandemics and like how people coped with Spanish flu and, you know, the impact of stuff like that would have had, and the plague and all that. So might go back and listen to that. So 25th of March, we had the first self-isolate-in. We did a couple of self-isolate-ins with some good Irish podcasters. Like, we spoke about the Irish language with Peter Kavanagh. We from the Mother Folklore podcast, we had Alan Maguire from Juvenalia podcast on just for a bit of escapism. We did some good self-isolate-ins at the start. And then we kind of changed tack. On the 29th of April 2020, we had a podcast titled When Will the Pubs Open? And I would argue that they haven't opened since.
No. I mean, like, you can't, those, that 2 weeks of opening just doesn't count, like, as in, like, well, it ended up being like people were allowed in for maybe a weekend or something with kind of with social distancing allowed in. And then it was reduced down to 15 people outdoors, like, extremely quickly after that. So yeah, like, you can't count that. Like, people bought stock in to just lose stock. That's all that was. That's what that event happened.
Yeah, I think like the 29th of, when we think about it, the 29th of April, and like, that's what is it, 8 months ago now, 8 months ago now. Like, it's incredible that we were talking about, we were trying to postulate when the pubs would open again, because at the time we weren't talking about the kind of open that happened. We were talking about when will we have our pub experience back. So
yeah, when will normality return, really, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, the 11th of June on. Yeah. We had a podcast titled Light at the End of the Pint Watch Tunnel. So this is when the government announced the plan for the phased opening, and that they were, that's, this is when the government announced they were cancelling the fourth and fifth levels of lockdown and moving to just the fourth level where the pubs open again. So
was this the gastropubs?
No, I think this was, yeah, the gastropubs was the 29th of June, wasn't it? So
I think so, yeah.
And then the pubs opened again briefly in
August.
Oh, at the end of August, yeah, because by September there was limitations again. They were supposed to open fully in September, but they didn't. The 16th of August, then we had our last call series. Where we chatted to some incredible publicans around the country on how they were coping. And there were some cool messages of hope at the end of that. And we got some brilliant stories about the history of different places, like Mellet Santorum, Phil Grimes. We had Mother Max on. We had the Kiltie Lynn. And we had Four Provinces in Dublin. And, oh God, I feel like I'm missing one now. That's a shame, but it is. Especially because I did all the recordings. But we had some brilliant, like we featured some great pubs. What actually was a shame was a couple of pubs got back to us after we had done the recordings, being like, you know, we'd love to feature and all that. But like, again, it just showed what publicans went through. That was August, which was like 5 months ago now. It's crazy. Like,
yeah, no, like that series was so good. Yeah, actually, like talking back on it now, and I know you're going to flick on to the Candemic series soon as well after that, but like, actually, like, we're kind of reflecting back on like 2020 as opposed to our like 20, when did the podcast start? 2018?
2018, yeah.
Yeah, like 2018 and 2019. That like this is actually just quality over quantity, really, wasn't it? Like, there's some like, we definitely, like, not to toot our own horn, because I don't think I'm tooting our own, but like, we definitely had to push ourselves more in terms of like, you know, we didn't have that like amazing pub rap background. Like, you know, oftentimes it was just the two of us, because you can't rope someone into, you know, it's harder to kind of rope someone into a Zoom call than it is to like, you know, bring them to go out for a few
People will, and I think after this pandemic, I think we'll actually probably have people queuing up to try and join us for a pint and talk, because they'll be so missing the pub. Like, whereas, yeah, like, you know,
if we have a guaranteed pub slot, if we got that, like,
yeah, oh, it'd be amazing. And then yeah, the pandemic came after that, which to be honest, which I think, like, if the snowcast like stopped tomorrow, which it won't, don't worry, listener, I would be so proud of the pandemic. It was great crack altogether. But that was kind of like basically a reeling in the year of the Snowcast, which, you know, I think what you hit on there was, for a pub-based podcast in a year where the pubs are closed for 75% of the year, we didn't do too bad.
I definitely think that like there's some absolute gems there, and it was tough for a boy. I don't know, a lot of times where we normally record would be like flaking in after work on a Friday, like we'd, you know, like that's when we do our record and we go into a pub, and it'd be very kind of like, you know, celebratory of the fact that the work week is finished, and also like just, you know, having a bit of laughter. Whereas like, you know, for us it would have been like now, like finishing work, driving home, and you know, getting the dinner sort. You know, there's like it isn't as easy as just like coming on and having a few, like, you know, it's just like it's a lot less natural, like, you know, to actually both get in the mood for a few cans for like on a Zoom link thing, like, and everyone knows it's the same crack for everyone, like Zoom calls, Zoom quizzes, a lot, like, it definitely now. I think at the start people were like were craving any sort of social interaction. And people were jumping on the Zoom quizzes, like, you know, because they just wanted to see people, like, you know. Whereas now, when like it's just tiresome, like trying to do it a lot of the time, like, you know.
I'll tell you what though, like, I have to say, when I think, like, thinking back there, you know, what you're describing about coming home, settling for dinner, you're sitting on the couch and you're watching telly, and then it's like, right, I need to go and get my cans in order, like, I'll do some prep for the episode, yeah. And it's like right, we need to do a podcast now. Getting that kind of frame of mind, I can't emphasize the listeners. So the amount of times that we just went for a quick bag of chips before knocking into a pub and getting a couple of pints into us before we hit record and got the microphones out, like, you know, quick bag of chips or a quick, like, you know, kebab out of somewhere or something, you know, just that after that post work
pint. Implement.
Yeah, just pure divilment. I can't wait for, like, that's the thing I miss the most about the pub is the divilment, like. But we have a couple of things that we just want to run through to conclude our reflection on 2020.
Our reeling in the ears.
Our reeling in of 2020. So we've done our Snugcast list of 2020. But we have a couple of headlines that I want to ask you on, and we'll see if we come up with any of the same ourselves. Yeah. But what's been your best beer of 2020?
So I was thinking about it. So many things like flitting into my mind, but I think what you were saying earlier on was like, you know, which beers are like the most unique, which beer was the most, most unique, most flavorsome, that really stood out to you as like something game changing as to like what you've tasted before. And like, you know, I'd say like previously, if you like say 2018, 2019, you know, like Castaway was like a big game changer for me in terms of like the sours. Like that just like completely changed how beers tasted for me. And this year I'm actually gonna go back to that night in Loch 13 there in December, and I'm gonna go after the dinner. I had a dessert can, and it was Clancy Cans number 3, the tiramisu dessert stout, 7.8%. And oh my god, that like that coffee, like beautiful kind of sugary sweets stout was unbelievable. Like it definitely was, like without a doubt, it was definitely the best like dessert stout I've ever had. It like really, really complimented like that meal, like finish it off. And for me, yeah, 100% my favorite beer, I think, of 2020.
Brilliant. I'm really digging what you're saying there about uniqueness. So I was trying to think about this, and actually in my head it was a bit paranoid. I was like, have we done this already? And I think we've asked on podcasts, what's your best beer of 2020 so far at different various points.
Yeah.
Now that 2020 is concluded, and like I think 2020 was the year that I had the most varied beer drinking experience. Like I've never drank more different beers and different styles, I think, than I drank in 2020. But for me, a toss up of two, and I think you hit a very interesting dynamic there where you talk about what's the most unique beer that I had in 2020, which I think is definitely up there. And then as well, like, what's the beer in 2020 that you would drink, you know, on any given occasion, at any stage of the year, at any event. So I'm going to throw two out there, and I can't really choose between the two for very, very different reasons. In terms of a beer that you could drink at any stage, anywhere, at any time, for any purpose, probably even have one, and if you were driving, have one and wait an hour or two and go, is like, you know, no matter what you're at. You talk about Tip Tango with barbecues, talk about going on the absolute razzmatazz in the pub and getting absolutely rattled. Or if you're talking about having Zoom cans or Zoom quiz, the ideal beer for all occasions for me from 2020 has to be Teeny Tiny, the 3.3% session.
Oh, great shoot. Yeah.
By Dead Center Brewing. Like, it's just, you know, the way you talk, like, you know, an X for any occasion. Like, that's a beer for any occasion. And I think as well, like, it does bring me on to really give a heavy shout out in terms of 2020 to Brian at Craft Beer Community, and like organizing those virtual beer festivals and tastings, and everything that Brian did throughout 2020 was amazing. So I really want to say like Teeny Tiny's up there, but I can't talk about beers I drank in 2020 without giving an absolute honourable mention to the So It Begins Saison by Otterbank Brewing, Declan Dare, the head brewer in Yellow Belly, with his side project Otterbank Brewing. That's that Saison one that I had in the Candemic series, that represented Fermanagh, pure made up reason to represent Fermanagh, but it was the one that was barrel aged in oak barrels, Pinot Noir and Chardonnay oak barrels. That Saison that like has to be the most profound blowing my mind the beer has ever done. And we both know Declan, like the nicest guy, great crack, and an absolute fucking genius. So I can't look back on 2020, like, for very different reasons. Teeny Tiny is the kind of, you could drink it anywhere at any time, where So It Begins is the most unique drinking, tasting, kind of that experience of the senses that you can get with beer. Like I don't, I've never tasted anything like it, and I'm not sure if I ever will again. It was genuine. Like I was absolutely fucking floored for about 5 minutes after I drank that beer, just overcome with genius, like
With
fucking,
emotion.
no, like,
Lots of emotion.
yeah, oh, absolutely, like slightly aroused, not really knowing what was going on, but that was top notch. Oh, and what's your brewery of 2020?
Well, actually, I think right, we should give, because I think Teeny Tiny is absolutely phenomenal as well. I think we should give that the Snugcast Beer of 2020. What do you reckon?
Well, yeah, I think there's consensus there that, like, because I don't, you didn't have a So It Begins, and I didn't have a Clancy's Cans Tree, so I think we should
Yeah.
name Teeny Tiny of Dead Centre Brewing the Snugcast Beer of 2020.
And I think as well, it's definitely I think both that Saison and both the Clancy's Cans Tiramisu Stout are going to have their haters, but I don't think there's going to be many haters of that Teeny Tiny. Do you know what I mean? Like that's like a very like that's a great beer for everyone, like
Yeah.
really so tasty. So yeah,
I think as well, it's the kind of beer you could give to a non-craft beer drinker and say, this is what you're fucking missing out on. Whereas if you gave a So It Begins or a Tiramisu Stout to a non-craft beer drinker, they're going to be like, what is this absolute madness you're doing? Like, get me into it.
Exactly, exactly.
I think it's fair enough. And I don't think anyone would argue with it. But what's your, right, we'll settle on Teeny Tiny for the official Snugcast Beer of 2020. What's your brewery of 2020?
So yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it, to go what's your brewery? So I suppose, you know, what you're trying to think to yourself, what are the category, or what are the attributes that are associated with being the best brewery, right? So pretty much you're kind of looking at what's the lineup, isn't it, that you would drink? What's the range of products? What's the, you know, like it, you know, are you going to drink something? Do they have a great selection across the different varieties of beers? And you know, like I'd say, again, looking back, 2018, 2019, like Yellow Belly, and Yellow Belly still are like an absolutely fantastic brewery. Like just going around messing with experimental beers. Their core lineup is fantastic as
I thought
well.
you were going to say experimental drugs for a second. I was like, we can't say that on here.
Well, yeah, well, look, sure, look, if they do, if they don't, they do. But but anyway, so yeah, I definitely, yeah, Yellow Belly would have been fucking like top notch, and still are very top notch in it. But this year, and I think it's just with like Wicklow, with the pandemic, that I definitely would have like spotted like Wicklow Wolf, just way more. I don't know what it was, but like the presence in like every off-license I was in was just like absolutely phenomenal. And because of that, I tended to tip into it. And again, it's going down the avenue there that you're saying for like Teeny Tiny. What are the beers that you could drink like at any session that you'd like, you know, you take to any situation and you'd be happy with it? And for me, I think this year, anything from the Wicklow Wolf lineup has been absolutely phenomenal. Like I have not had a bad Wicklow Wolf beer. And so like having gone through like their like Apex Stout series, like they had their own tiramisu stout, which was absolutely phenomenal. They have like their oatmeal stout, which is Arcadia, isn't it? Is that Arcadia? No, Arcadia is their lager, is the wheat-free lager.
Yeah.
So they have Arcadia. Maybe their stout is just called Apex, is it? I don't know. But then they have the Elevation Pale Ale, they have the Sriracha Red Ale. Like it's the lineup that they have is absolutely phenomenal. Like I'm happy with taking any of those beers like off the shelf. And like I think like every time that I go to the plinth, like it's just like automatic that in the selection of 5 for €16 that there's going to be a Wicklow Wolf in that five, like, you know.
Yeah, they're an amazing brewery, and they don't make bad beers. For me, the highlight from Wicklow Wolf for the year was that Apex Schmores, the marshmallow and chocolate stout.
Yeah,
that was just one that, like, everyone I know who likes craft beer, I was texting them straight away being like, you need to fucking buy some of this beer if you can get your hands on it. Like, I was so impressed by it that, like, I went out of my way to buy more of it after I drank it. I can't even remember if I drank it on a snowcast or I think what happened was I drank it after we recorded one of the kind of epics. It was post-record can. That beer was out of this world. And like you said, they've got a phenomenal core range. And their limited edition ones, like the Guardians of the Galaxy that they did with Dot.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. That's absolutely, like, crazy.
You know, like, you're just looking at a brewery that just keeps on hitting winner after winner after winner. And as well, one that's really supportive of other independent breweries. Like, they're big into their tap takeovers. Like, again, talking about our previous podcasts, a time that I was sick and you and a couple of your friends went to the tap takeover in Grady's Yard by Wicklow Wolf, and you had a chat with Quincy as well as Declan from Otter Bank and Yellow Belly, which again was a fucking really good conversation. And I just think about Wicklow Wolf in just I absolutely adore that brewery. They have some phenomenal beers, and I'm really glad you picked them, because I was really convinced that we would pick the same brewery.
Yeah,
I'm so fucking glad that you picked Wicklow Wolf, because they do deserve recognition for the amazing beers that they put out this year. But in terms of me picking a brewery, I had three categories I was trying to think of that the brewery would be successful in. Their beers are top notch, and that they released a top notch beer this year. That they offered something to the community, and that they had a serious level of soundness, which most independent breweries do, to be fair.
Yeah.
So I'll do it in reverse order. Level of soundness. It's a brewery that soundness has been demonstrated by doing interviews with the Irish Beer Snob, that featured heavily in the first virtual craft beer festival that Craft Beer Community put on. And that have hand-delivered cans of beer to your door for us to enjoy on the podcast.
Yeah.
In terms of giving back to community, they released a special edition beer, released an updated version of that beer, and all the proceeds, all the profits from that went to supporting their local hospital. And in terms of beers, their core range of Soldier's Island, Electric Juice, Baby Boom, and the Van City is phenomenal. And the Kildare Brewing Company bringing out Lockdown and the Lockdown Pale Ale and Lockdown 2.0, for me, deserve to be Brewery of the Year, purely from the point of view that they just have done everything. And Lock 13 pub that they have, you know, they're employing local people. They have a brewery out the back. They're very welcoming and open. They've told us once this pandemic is over, we're more than welcome to come in and have a look around. I know they've done the same for other people that are interested in craft beer. And again, if you do have the chance to go back and listen to the Irish Beer Snob podcast with Barry and one of the other guys from the brewery, apologies for forgetting your name now. It's a brilliant listen. You can just tell how sound they are. And during a pandemic, to bring out two beers that are brilliant beers and to give the profits to Naas General Hospital at a time when your business is struggling just fucking says volumes for me. So, like, I just think it's a brewery that doesn't really sell outside of Kildare. They don't want to sell outside of Kildare, and to get into that in detail with the Irish Beer Snob, but Wayne and Janice. But fuck me, like, I just couldn't say a bad word about them. You know, you send them a DM on Twitter and say, is there any chance I could get some of this? And they drop the case of cans on the way home, passing your door at the start of the pandemic for us. Like, honest to God, a top bunch of people at the Kildare Brewing Company. So for me, I feel like they're my brewery of the year.
Oh, good stuff. So yeah, I'd actually agree with that. You've sold me on him, and like yeah, like even the few times that I've gone to Loch 13, like it's a phenomenal restaurant and pub as well experience. So like, I know Wicklow Wolf are opening up a tap room out in their brewery, but like Loch 13 has already established that, and it's amazing. Like it's just like it's one of those places as well, like where it's always welcoming and always had that like that like signage in there for inviting you to like bring a growler and like and get the fresh beer from there as well, which is definitely what a tap room should be like, that like it's for takeaway as well, like, and this is pre-pandemic or anything as well. So yeah, God, those lads have been so nice throughout the whole thing, and you're bringing back some nice memories as well there, DJ. I'm quite enjoying it, like that start of the pandemic where things were like this kind of like dropping things to the door was like a novelty, and we're getting great enjoyment out of like bringing cans to one another and stuff. But
Yeah,
yeah, it's
do you remember?
very 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 sound.
Do you
That was the
remember
first time I had seen you, wasn't it? Like since
when I was cocooning, and
yeah.
I remember like when you think back to it about the caution. So Kildare Brewing Company dropped my case of cans to your door, left them outside the door, rang the doorbell. Then you dropped them to my house where we met outside my front door, and you left them on the roof of my car and walked back. And then I walked and took them. And it's just that was the beginning. That was the fear of the unknown. And those beers like really helped. Like it sounds mad to say it, but they really helped in this voyage of discovering new beer. Certainly was a huge part of getting through 2020 and the podcast growing and developing and taking on almost like a life of its own in 2020. I think it was brilliant. I'm delighted for Kildare Brewing Company to be named Snowcast Brewery of the Year 2020. Wicklow Wolf,
Agreed.
you'll have your day, don't worry. Owen, what can I ask you what your favorite Snowcast podcast of 2020 was?
So it's probably an easy one we'll probably share, but I am going to go more specific. So it is one of the pandemic series, because I think that that was an absolutely phenomenal time. It was probably my favorite point of recording throughout the whole history of the Snowcast, like, and it was kind of like reflecting that kind of development. Now, if that's probably saying that in terms of kind of recent lives, because I've nearly forgotten what it's like to step inside a pub, like, so I can't actually really, I can't. There's been some amazing memories within a pub as well, but I suppose for this year, it has definitely been the highlight for me. We had so much fun. There was so much growling, and it was the planning and stuff around it as well. It was our going, like, it was actually all the stuff that was outside the podcast as well, like going to the pubs, planning, contacting offies, contacting breweries, seeing where can we get the final cans from Fermanagh and Tyrone and fucking Cavan and everywhere. Like, it was just so much fun. And then obviously the podcast itself was so much fun. But the pandemic episode that I'm going to choose is the last one, is episode 4 of it. I think we really got into our stride in the last one. We knew there was such relief that we had like actually achieved it. Our stories were just absolutely ridiculous, and we were in a very nice Larry form as well. Like, so for me, the final pandemic series episode is my number one for 2020 for the Snowcast.
Brilliant. Yeah, I think I can't disagree with that, because it was brilliant, and that sense of relief was amazing. In fact, I had such a sense of relief that I drank 13 different cans that night and was violently ill the next day. but it was like honestly, I think that the entire month of November was just pure sheer elation from a podcasting perspective. And it's something that I'd be very, very proud of that we achieved. I think as well, like for me, the last call, like I know I put hours into the last call. Like I really fucking slogged for that. I thought I really enjoyed that, doing that too. And I think you said the pandemic series, and I think that's the right answer, but I just want to give a mention to the last call purely because I will never, ever forget sitting in the beer garden of Phil Grimes when it was closed, having the socially distant cup of tea with Tom Ryan and just asking him a question and letting him go for 10 minutes talking about the history of Phil Grimes, the history of John Street, the history of Watford, talking about guys decapitated, blood spilling into milk. You know, just the most incredible storyteller. And I had been deprived of that storytelling for so long at that stage that that was glorious. Like for me, on a personal perspective, not from a podcast perspective, that one really was like a real, real nice moment. And the last call, like I think, you know what, it was something really different we did at the time. We did that in August. We were trying to go for a different vibe, just purely from a perspective of, you know, I think we both felt like every week we were talking about when will we have a pint again, when will the pubs open again, and it was getting a bit repetitive. Whereas the last call was just a bit way to mix it up, and I think it kind of inspired the out of the box thinking that brought us to the Candemic series. So I just wanted to give it an honourable shout. But yeah, Candemic, and I think you're right, number four, like. We kept getting, the Candemic series kept getting longer and longer each episode. And I think at the start, we were a bit like, fuck, like, will people listen to podcasts this Lent? And like, people were asking for more by the end of it. So I think like, you know, I think you're right. Candemic number four, the last one where we finished it off, was definitely probably the highlight of 2020 on our last podcast of 2020 for me.
Excellent. Yeah.
Right on. What was your favorite TV show of 2020?
So for TV show, I'm selecting a 10-part documentary series. And we spoke about it because we were like, we thought it was absolutely phenomenal when we were watching it. And we kind of watched it almost in tandem, like maybe like a few episodes here or there on the other side. Like, but it was... The Last Dance, the story of the Chicago Bulls during the 90s on their treble winning series of two winning series, like, and it was I've never seen production quality of a documentary like that before, like the music, all those jams from the 90s. The clips, like the melding of interviews between the now and the past, and like how it was done, whereby each episode told the story of a season whilst also like focusing on a specific player from the team, whether it be like Dennis Rodman or Scottie Pippen, or you know, like it was like absolutely, or like, or Phil Jackson for an episode as well. Like it was just I was absolutely enraptured by it, and like I actually think I might go back and watch it again, like, because it was so good. Like so yeah, that without a doubt, like nothing even like came to touch it. Like this year we had like I think we were saying like before we started recording that like this year, like in terms of like TV shows, like was crazy, and I think like everybody probably consumed more TV this year than they would have any other year because pubs were closed. But like, you know, you had the likes of like Tiger King and stuff as well, like this year, which like everybody was like from it. But like I think the Last Dance was like a step above everything else. Like it was absolutely class. DJ,
I said it to you before we started recording, we didn't tell each other what our answers were, but I said I think we'd have the same for the TV show, and it like the Last Dance is unequivocally the right answer for me.
Yeah,
like, even like We actually did, like we talked about it in the podcast, but I really like basketball. I'm quite big into basketball. I loved Michael Jordan, and Space Jam, Like I have this absolutely love for Space Jam the movie as well, and we got to see some behind the scenes and how that was made. Like my grandmother bought me Space Jam for Christmas 1 year on a VCR. Like I adore that film, and like it really got me into baseball. And we didn't or basketball, sorry, and we didn't have much we didn't have much access to it back in the day as well. So you kind of had to go out here to find it. But everyone knew who Michael Jordan was. So yeah, Last Dance for me, it's incredible, and it's not just about the basketball. Like. You know, people who have no interest in basketball were obsessed with this series. I'm glad you mentioned Tiger King because that was like the first lockdown in Ireland was basically people watching Tiger King every night and eating banana bread they had made that day. You know, that was pretty much it. Like, and yeah, there's been some good TV this year. I've seen actually because I'm only watching Park. I want to give it. Just mention this two things quickly. I see Parks and Rec did a socially distant reunion for lockdown. So I'm really interested in seeing that because I'd never watched Parks and Rec until recently. And I'm on the third series now and I think it's really, really good.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
But the other
Phenomenal.
thing I want to give a shout out to is the US Office. I watched the entire US Office in December, from start to finish, which is probably my third time watching it because I watched it when it came out. And I watched it about 6, 7 years ago again. I watched it as it was coming out. And I watched it about 6, 7 years ago again, and I just watched it from the start because, basically, because I got Sky and it's on Sky on demands and it's easy watching. So I want to give a shout out to them because they're great. And if you have the opportunity to watch them, you should. But for 2020, it's The Last Dance, without a shadow of a doubt. I think we're both absolutely in agreement there.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Owen, have you got a favorite movie from 2020? Which I know is difficult because not many movies came out in 2020 compared to previous years, and you didn't have to go into the cinema experience either. So,
Yeah, not really. I actually don't think I've even watched like too many films this year. Like in terms of like, oh, just like coming home from work, like you don't have time to watch a film. Weekends were kind of like, I don't know, you kind of really felt like you were wasting your time. And again, like you, that cinema experience is like taken away from you. But I suppose like one of the films that I really did enjoy was, I know this is a 2019 film, but it is a documentary film, and it's called Knock Down the House, and it's about like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and three other women, and basically the struggles that they've had as women to like get into the American House of Representatives or become Congress people. And it's phenomenal. Like out of the four women who run for Congress, who run for Congress in this documentary, actually only AOC gets through, the other three don't. And like it's just basically about like kind of like white privilege and male privilege and stuff like that. But the way it's shot, like it's quite up, like it's quite up close, like it's quite it doesn't seem like to be too edited in terms of like, you know, it's AOC as she's working as a waitress and stuff like that. I'm just following her along, and it's more kind of like snapshotty of the campaign trail as it's going along. But yeah, it's a phenomenal film, and I'd recommend anyone to watch it. Like it's really, 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 really good. Yeah. Actually, another shout out as well that I saw is Black Klansman this year as well. And that was actually a really, really good film. I really enjoyed that.
Was Black Klansman, wasn't it?
No, I watched it this year.
Oh yeah, sorry. No, yeah, because it's brilliant. Actually, yeah, because that was 2018, I think, wasn't it?
2018 or 2019, yeah.
Because actually, before we come on to record, I watched a film called Burned as well, which is about the Ku Klux Klan in Forest Whitaker's in it. It's like an independent film. That's why we're watching as well. But that was a 2018 film. But my film for 2020, it was released in the US in 2019, but it was released earlier. Is a film called Just Mercy, which starred Jamie Foxx and Michael B. Jordan. Michael B. Jordan's an actor that I think is absolutely brilliant. The guy who played Watchman in the in the latest Rocky, you know, the new Rocky, Michael B. Jordan, he played what you call it, son. What's the guy from Rocky?
From what?
From Rocky, Michael B. Jordan plays the son.
Jesus.
God, these points have gone to my head and I can't think of Rocky's black friend who gets killed in the ring with.
It'll come to me. Tip on anyway.
But and also, I'm talking about Just Mercy Owen with Jamie Foxx and Michael B. Jordan, which is about a guy who's on death row who's innocent. And Michael B. Jordan is a listener who is convinced that he is innocent and sets up this non-for-profit legal firm taking up cases of people who are on death row who are innocent, and he saves this guy from death row, or does he? Spoiler alert. Just Mercy as well, we're watching. But I was saying, like, Michael B. Jordan is an actor that I think is really underappreciated. Like, he's in that latest Rocky film, but as well, like, he plays a teenager in the Friday Night Lights series towards the end of that. Did you ever watch Friday Night Lights on?
Oh, phenomenal. Like, that's it. Like, actually, you know, scratch The Last Dance. That's the greatest show of all time. Like,
I mean, it's about 8 or 9 years old, but it's top notch. I'd recommend anyone who gets a chance to watch Friday Night Lights again, watch it. Like, it's so good. And as well, a very good book and a very good film. That's the TV adaptation, which is kind of adapted from it, but not really representative of it. Owen, do you have a favorite song that came out in 2020?
I think we're both at the age where you tend to just keep listening to like tunes from like your youth and like, you know, older tunes. Like, and I've definitely like been. Like all of my songs that are on my playlists and stuff are just like fucking nostalgia driven. Like, you know, they're all, you know, either if it's like 90s rap or it's like listening to like 80s rock or 80s pop or something like that. Like, it's just, you know, I think I kind of lost out a bit. Like, maybe just in general, I've kind of lost out on like music discoverability, which would have been like a huge thing for me when I was in my teenage years and stuff, like, you know. But having said that, I'm going to go down a very popular route for this song. And I'm going to choose Blinding Lights by The Weeknd as the song for 2020. Just because I think of like, the social aspect of it as well, in like in terms of like how it influenced like a dance on TikTok, and like there was a huge kind of like transformation and stuff there. And I think it's just like a phenomenal song. I think he's a really, really good artist. Like, I think like I would have had like a bit of like a grumpy old man kind of syndrome initially when like he came on. Who's it? Like, what's this kind of rubbish kind of like new, like, and then it just kind of actually grows on you when you actually kind of sit down and listen to it, like, you know, as opposed to just being like, oh, new music is bad, like, you know. Sound like my father kind of stuff,
yeah,
like, you know, unless it's Led Zeppelin, like he's not listening to it, like, you know.
I'm laughing, if any cool young people listen to this podcast for the first time, they're definitely going to think you're the cool one and I'm the old grumpy hole now, because I was like, my choice is a really old song.
There's no rules.
There's no rules in here this many cans in. My choice is an old song that was done as a cover this year. And I suppose the thing, like,
is this Bon Jovi's Fairy Tale in New York?
Definitely not. Please, can people stop doing covers of the Fairy Tale in New York? It stop.
Uncoverable.
It's actually, so Don Henley's Boys of Summer was covered by Bellex One during the summer and released as a single for charity. And I think on its own, like standalone, it's a fucking amazing song. And for people who don't know, Don Henley was the drummer in the Eagles, who also had quite a successful solo career. I was looking into this and I was like, Boys of Summer only ever reached number 5 in the charts. Which for me seems a bit mad, because it's just a song that you hear an awful lot on the radio. And Bellex wanted to cover during the summer, kind of like to raise a few pounds for charity. They've done a good bit for charity this year, Bellex won, to be fair to them. And they're my favourite band. Like, people will know, like long term listeners of the Snowcast know anything with music, I always managed to wrangle Bellex one in somehow. But they did this cover during the summer, and like it's just they do covers every now and again, and I think they've really did it justice. It was a very, very good version of it. You know the song one, do you?
No.
I can't see you, yeah. Brown skin shining in the sun.
Oh yeah.
So it's a well known song. Like if you hear it on the radio, you'd be very familiar with it. You'd be singing along to it driving down the road, and they did a really good cover of it. And I'd say I listened to it on repeat for about a month when it came out. So that's my song of the year. Last thing to cover before we wrap it up. Non Snowcast podcast of the year on.
Actually, kind of going along the lines of like. Podcasts, well, not actually, no, because this was kind of just developed, but like developed off the back of the pandemic. So the podcast that I've chosen is Grounded with Louis Theroux. So Louis Theroux, that you'd know from like documentary fame, has done a podcast where he's on a second series now. So it's kind of like, he had one for the first lockdown and he had one for the second lockdown, but he's interviewed like 10 people. I think he interviewed 10 people in the first series. And now he's like kind of about four or five episodes in of the second series now. But like they're an hour long interviews with people. And it's just like if you've ever seen like Louis Theroux's documentaries where like he just like, it's just that like bumbling like nature that he has, whereby like he's able to like, you know, delve into like people's personal lives and ask questions from them in like a non-confrontational, not even like probing way. It's more of like just kind of like a curiosity way, as if he's having like that kind of pub chat with them. So some of the people that he's had on, one that was really good was Troy Deeney. He had on the podcast, Watford striker. Am I right in saying that? Watford striker.
Yeah.
On the podcast, and like just about like his upbringing, like, you know, his dad was. Actually, I better not say this because I can't fully remember the podcast, but like definitely like I think his dad was like, no, his dad was like into like theft, and he was like in jail for a good bit and stuff as well. So like it was just kind of like all about like that upbringing and like in flats and stuff like that. And just like, it's just like actually like listening to people and their like personal lives, it's just so interesting. Like he also had like Boy George, Helena Bonham Carter, Lenny Henry, Chris O'Dowd was on it as well. That was a very funny one. And like this series, then he had Sia, and like it was actually one of the, like I was like going to work one morning, and like this, it, I was listening to the Sia podcast, and there's like one bit of the thing where like I literally had to, like she's just telling a story about an encounter that she had with a fan, and I'm literally there like gripping the steering wheel with my like hand over my mouth, like I'm just shocked so much. I thought like a really, really good thing to do, where like you've just like embraced the Zoom nature of podcasting, and like has just kind of developed it off where like people are just at home and kind of how they're dealing with the pandemic and stuff as well. So really, really enjoyed that one. I'm a big fan of Louis Theroux's, like.
Yeah, very good. Actually, I haven't listened to that. I must try on one or two now, and try and get into it. Because I was like, right, there's some really good independent podcasting going on and stuff like that. But I'm going to harp back to my TV show take, where I watched The US Office throughout, and I kind of just. I was like getting nostalgic first because it's a TV series that I absolutely adore, and I watched it again too, and I was like, you know, fuck. So during the first lockdown, I was listening to Zach Braff and Donald Faison,
Oh,
their
yeah.
watch podcast series for Scrubs, and I love them two guys as well, and it was really good. But I found it very hard to get through the podcast, you know, rattle through them.
Yeah.
So I was kind of looking up The Office and stuff, and I found that Jenna Fischer, who plays Pam on The Office,
Yeah.
and Angela Kinsey, who plays Angela on The Office, are actually best friends in real life. And they have a rewatch podcast series that started about a year ago. So I've been listening to that for the last few weeks, almost on repeat, like two, three episodes a day. And it's brilliant. Like, they're so good to listen to. They have this brilliant friendship. Like,
And actually, how long are those episodes?
about an hour.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Which for me, like, you know, I think it's just pottering around the house, cooking, doing something like that. But it's the type of podcast that you don't have to listen to it through. So you can listen to 20 minutes stop and then come back to it the next day or a couple of hours later. You know, it's easy listening.
Yeah.
So The Office Ladies is a really good one. And they actually do all the social media accounts themselves because they talk about it on the podcast about, you know, I was messaging this person on Instagram or whatever. And they get people to ask them questions about, you know, whether stuff is improvised, and they go into real background, they go into the background detail of shooting the episode. And it's kind of like you get this like backstage view into the making of a TV series as well. So I really, really enjoy that. I think it's a really good podcast. And they've kept it up throughout the pandemic. So I'm like, you know, finishing series two now, and they've gone as far as I think series four so far. So like I've got another couple of series to catch up on, and they've got like fucking another five series of The Office to get through as well. So there'll be plenty of them coming too. So it's well worth checking out. But yeah, that was it. Like, that was a good overview of 2021.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, no, definitely, in terms of the beers we drank, I think we're very definite. I'm very, very flaky there on what was my favorite movie and song and stuff but beers and TV shows, fucking nailed it, man. I think that probably nearly encapsulates my 2020 more so is
Drinking cans off on the telly.
yeah, exactly, and just just I thought there was just good quality on both of those fronts, really, yeah.
What I'll say is, like, you know, I don't know if you have a wish for 2021. Obviously, getting back to the pub, being like, take it for granted. But if we get back to the pub, I'd have a wish that, like, we get more exposure to more breweries in the pubs that we go to. I really hope that that's an option for 2021. Because
I think as well. Yeah, same kind of same premise. I hope that there has been such a move for shopping local and supporting local, and we've seen the, Brexit has finally struck after all this time, and there is import duties and all this shit kind of going to be coming down the line. So it's nearly more so important more than ever to support local, and I just hope as well that I just hope that the businesses that when they reopen and restaurants and stuff as well, that when they reopen, that they see that it hasn't only just been them that's suffering, it's others that have been suffering as well, and that if you help others out, you'll help yourself out as well, and
Yeah, like I think as well, like on that point, you know, for us the consumers of the beer, we need to ask for it because if you look at, you know, breweries, independent breweries, there might be, you know, the exports to the UK might be the thing that's keeping the lights on or the thing that's making it profitable and viable. And if that's taken away from them now or that's made less profitable because of you know, these tariffs or whatever it may be, or what might be happening. I don't know. I'm not an economic expert in Brexit whatsoever. You know, the difference between you choosing a Wicklow Wolf or a Kildare Brewing Company beer over a Guinness, like let's call a spade a spade. Guinness and Smithwick's are going to be fine. You know, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. And it's on us to make sure that the Kildare Brewing Companies and Wicklow Wolves and the other all them of the world that are still there. But look, Great overview of 2020. We drive on to 2021, hoping that we do the reverse of what we did in 2020. We started 2020 in a pub, finished it on Zoom.
Yeah.
We start 2021 in Zoom, and Owen, we'll hold a candle up to the hope that we'll end 2021
in a pub. A candle.
Yeah, that'll be the candelabra. Listen, lads, Sláinte Dívh Gaoler, Happy New Year. Fucking delighted to be back podcasting as well. Before we go, I went for surgery on a Thursday and was talking to Owen at the start of that week about how the fact that we were going to record on a Friday night regardless, not realizing I spent the next few days getting sick. That was very ambitious. So thanks for sticking with us. We drive on to 2021. We've actually got some really good concepts for podcasts lined up for the rest of the month of January and February. And what we would love to do is hear suggestions from you guys as to what you would like to manifest itself in podcast form from the Snowcast, beer-wise, pub-wise, if possible. Get in touch. You can get in contact with us on Instagram @Snowcast and Twitter @Snowcast and Facebook. And also our email is thesnowcast@gmail.com. Get in touch if you've got suggestions for podcasts. We'll do our best to make it work. And we're on www.patreon.com/snowcast. We've got some great patrons that contribute to this podcast, and as soon as we can get around to pubs, we plan on going and visiting the pubs that we featured in last call, doing some trips away to breweries and stuff like that, and all those proceeds help fund that, and getting better guests on, etc, etc. So thanks a million for sticking with us. So parting words for the listeners and the first podcast of 2021.
Well, I think I'll end by just telling you the drink I'm drinking at the moment is from Dot Brew, and it's called So Far, So Good. So I think this podcast is so far, it's been so good.
So good as we hit finish record. Launch it, Eve. Corara, have a good 2021, you cunt.
Good luck.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.